Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be in this house. Gosh, it's lively this morning, isn't it? So many people up here on this platform, so many different voices, you know, speaking about the Lord's goodness and what God is doing in this nation and what a God we serve in this house. You know, he's an active God, and you know, and I love this house, and I love the people that are in this house, and I love your hearts towards God. And this guy, Mr. Stevie G, I'm actually his ministry developer, and this guy is passionate about impact, you know, and he sends me stuff through emails, and you know what, we're going to see this guy in this nation. We're going to see him speaking the word of God. I believe it. But you know, this morning, I just want to talk about doing things God's way. You know, and we've been in this series for a couple of weeks, and I just want to talk about, you know, the spiritual rest of God and coming into that place of resting in God and what that looks like and how we can catch hold of that spiritual rest. And, you know, we all need rest. Every person on the planet needs rest, and we need rest to grow. We need rest to learn, and we need rest to live. And, you know, for those of us that have kids in the house, or if you have a niece or nephew, do you ever notice with kids when they're playing, they don't want to stop. They want to keep going and they want to keep playing all day and all night. And, you know, especially when it's around bedtime and you know when it's time for them to go to bed, and they know themselves when it's time to go to bed. And what will kids do? They will string it out. They don't want to go to bed, and they'll string it out for as long as they can. And then what happens then is the parent comes in and might have to take them by the legs and dangle them up in the air and say, no, it's time for bed, you're going to bed. Or perhaps you might take them in a headlock, whatever works for you. But you know what? As an adult, even for some of us in our thinking, we can see rest as an enemy. You know what? We don't want to stop what we're doing. We want to keep going and we want to keep plowing away. And we ask ourselves, why do we have to stop? Why can't we keep going? You know, if we were a man-made machine, or if we were, you know, like the Terminator, we could keep going. What was it he said? I'll be back. Is that what he said? I'll be back. But thankfully, we are not made as robots. We are designed as people to have physical rest and to have spiritual rest. And you know what? God talks about spiritual rest. And I love the opening of Genesis, you know, when he creates the world. And for 6 days, he's creating the world and he's getting all this world ready. But on the seventh day, he actually went into a place of his rest. On that seventh day, God sat back and he looked at what he created. He looked at the world around him and he seen everything was perfect. He was satisfied and he just took it all in and he said, this is good. But you know, the seventh day for some people, and some people in this world think that it's closed off. But the seventh day is not closed off. And that's the good news here today. The seventh day is still an open day for all of us here in the house and for the world. You see, God is still presently active. And that's our hope and our promises. And it talks about it in Hebrews. It talks about a special day of rest. That we, the people of God, will have a special day of rest. You see, this special day of rest is still awaiting the people of God, because it has been made since the beginning of time. And I have a sense in my spirit, and as an elder of this house, you know, there's some people that are weary, some people are restless, and some people are still searching for God. And I want you to take heart today to know that the promises of God are still active. And be encouraged in this house today that, you know, if you open your heart to God here today, listen, open your heart. Open your heart to the living, active God in this house today. Hear his voice here today. Because believe you me, I do believe that you will see the goodness of the Lord. The word says it, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, Father, I want to give you your people here today before you, Lord. I want to thank you for this house, Lord God. And, Lord, I want to thank you for your word, Lord, that your word is life-breathing, Lord. Father, I'm only the vessel, Lord. I'm only the vessel, Lord. But I ask that you would come in your great splendor, Father, and display your glory amongst your people here today. Father, have your way in this house. And all God's people said, amen. So if you would turn with me, we're going to look at Matthew, and we're going to go through, we're going to unwrap Matthew 11, 28, 30. And I think the guys might have it up there on the screen. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay. It talks about in Matthew, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God speaking to us. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here we see that Christ is offering all of mankind a simple solution. And that's basically what it is. It's a simple solution. He's asking us to come, the people of God. He's asking us to come and respond to this invitation. It's a solution for many here that if you have troubles going on, or if you have disappointments in your life or regrets in your life, you can come and you can rest them at the feet of Jesus. It's a solution just to come into a place of resting in him. If you're sick of your sin, if you're sick of the pressures of this life, if you're sick of your flesh, you can come because Jesus has a way out. Jesus has a way out for everybody here. And all we have to do is to partner with him. That's what he says. Come to me and partner with him. It's an invitation to come and to see the glorious display of greatness. We can have it. And all we have to do is come. And you know, God is not a God that we should be frightened of. You see, God is a God where we can enter in and take hold of what he has for us. You see, in Esther, when she had to go before the king, before she could actually enter in to see the king, he would have to hold out the gold scepter. And Jesus is holding out the gold scepter here today. And he's inviting all mankind to come. We don't have to be, you know, just a few to come. He's inviting all to come. You see, this is our special day of rest. This is the day, a rest that has been ready since the world was created. And you know, if you ever get an invitation in the post for a wedding or for a party, I know this church loves parties, so there's been many invitations and invites that go out. But if you ever get an invitation, the invitation will have on an RSVP. And that RSVP is Respondez, s'il vous plaît. You like me French? So you have to respond to the hostess. You have to reply back to that invitation. And there's two reasons for replying back. One is to let the hostess know that you're coming. And the second reason is so that they can cater for the amount of people that's going to come to the party. And here is Jesus. He's extending an invite to all mankind. He's extending out an invitation for all to come. For all to come and receive what he has. You know, the children of Israel, they failed. They failed. They never responded to the invitation of God. They failed to enter the promised land. They refused to believe in God's protection. They did not believe that God would help them conquer the giants in the land. You know, for 40 years and 40 nights, they wandered restlessly around the wilderness. They roamed around the wilderness, not knowing what the future held. But God, being so faithful, he still protected them. He still provided food for them. For 40 years, he gave them manna and he gave them quail. And I began to think about a quail, like it's a little mini bird. So for 40 years, they were eating this little bird. And I'd say there's only so much serving that you could do with that little bird. You could probably fry it, boil it, poach it, barbecue it, whatever. But for 40 years, this is what they ate. You see, they never entered the promised land and they never got to receive the honey from the promised land. And in this scripture that we're talking about today, when Jesus says, come, when he says, come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is extending an invitation, an opportunity for us to enter in to his promised land, that we can enter in to his promised land. You see, he will carry all of our burdens. And to our surprise, we are calm. Our anxiety is gone. The fear is gone that once kept us bound. You see, the resting in God's business means exactly that. That when you enter in, that you will actually rest. And what I love about this scripture is that God doesn't manipulate his people. He's not a God that reneges on his promises. He doesn't say, when you come in, now here, you take half the load and I'll take the other half. That's not the way God operates. But when we enter in, he says, come, give me all of your burdens. Lay all of your burdens down and I will take them all. And that's the God that we serve. He takes everything. He takes all of our burdens. You know, when I was preparing this, I began to look up, you know, what the oxen does. And I think the guys have a picture there that they're going to put up of the oxen. That's a mean looking animal, I think. I'd hate to run into that someday. But you know, the farmer would take two oxen, and the two oxen are yoked together, and there's a heavy harness that's put around the neck of the oxen. And it's like a wooden beam that's put around them, and they're kind of strapped into this. And they have to move together when they're plowing the land or when they're pulling heavy loads. That's what these animals do. You know, they cannot move independently. They both have to move at the same time. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. When you come into my presence, when you take my yoke upon you, you're partnering with me. You're taking my yoke and I will be partnered with you. That's what God says. And there's a story, there's a tale that's gone around for quite some time about when Jesus was the carpenter in Galilee. And it says that he made the best yokes in Galilee. And the yokes were tailor-made to fit each ox. And just imagine the sign above the door. My yoke fits well. My yoke fits well. And there's one for everyone here that's here today. And today, if you hear his voice, the scriptures would say, do not harden your hearts towards him. Do not harden your hearts towards the voice of God. Because if you follow his voice, you're going to outpass your own weaknesses. You're going to outpass your own disappointments. And when you come into that place of rest, you're going to find peace. You're going to find joy. You're going to find life. When we sang that song, bless the Lord, O my soul, something ignited in my spirit. On a Sunday morning when I'm preparing for church, my daughter just slagged me. She just say, Mom, you are singing a cappella down there. I don't even know what a cappella is, but I don't care because I come into that presence and I sing unto God and I come into that place of rest, knowing that I can come into a God that loves me. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Keep your heart open to receive from God. Have the courage to believe that his strength can cause you to stand in your weariness and in your restlessness. Have the courage to believe that his strength can cause you to stand in your failures. The second part of the scripture, it says, come to me and learn from me. This is the second part of the promise. This is where the promise is being fulfilled. And when you began your journey, or if you're only coming into a place to begin this journey, I want you to know we all set out on this journey with barren places. We all set out on this journey with restlessness in our soul. We all began this journey with areas of captivity in our heart. Barren places of being unfruitful, unproductive. Barren places of being uncooperative, unjoyful. But God chose to walk with us. He chose to walk with us in these places. And he doesn't despise these places. These are the places he chooses to be glorified in. And our part is to respond. Our part is to accept the invitation and to trust in him. You see, he will take these barren places and he'll breathe his life upon them, where there will be strength, where you will taste freedom, where you will taste victory. Not because of what you can do, but because of an empty tomb. You see, the burden of Christ on the cross is light. His resurrecting power is the reason we can be confident. His resurrecting power is the reason that we can believe he has all of our barren places and our burdens covered. God has our backs. That's the God that we serve. And I remember the first time I preached in this house, and it was in July 2010. I think it was around the time of the World Cup. And we did a series on the road to glory. Yeah. And I remember the title of the sermon that I got was Wags. And women are God's servants. And I remember sitting there, and I remember being so fearful of having to step up here onto this platform. And the fear that came upon me, it just gripped me. And just before I got up to bring the sermon, I don't know what way I brought it. But just before I got up, I got a word. And the word was, be of good courage. Be of good courage. And the reason I'm here is because he chose to walk with me. He is a supernatural God. He desires to have a people stand in their restless places. And I guess if I've learned anything through my walk with the Lord, I guess I've learned to do things afraid. And you know what? It's the only way I know how. I'm just one of those girls that just does things afraid. Because it talks about in the Bible, 365 times it says, fear not. Fear not. And I'm just one of those girls that just doesn't get it. Fear not. I just don't get it. But you know what? I'm standing here today. And I'm standing in places today. You know, where I should have sank. And I give God all the praise. I should have sank, but I haven't. But I've chosen to believe him. I've chosen to believe a God who was faithful in my life. Because I've learned to take his yoke upon me. I partnered with him. I partnered with God. You see, his yoke is teachable. And you know what? When you're teachable, you can come into that place with God. And he will show you things in your life. He will correct things in your life. But all you have to do is obey. That's all. And if you're under a yoke here today in this house, we're going to give you an opportunity to come and shake it off. And Sharon spoke about shaking off stuff upstairs and shaking off stuff here. And we're going to give an opportunity today that you can come into the resting place of God and shake stuff off of your life. You see, Jesus says, you need not be afraid. You see, God is a God that we do not need to fear. God is a God that we can come into his presence and enjoy his presence. And Jesus says in that scripture, I am meek and lowly. That's what he says. And he invites us to come. He invites us to partake of him. And those who are invited to rest in Christ, we must learn of him. We must learn to follow in his footsteps. You see, he is the source to become meek and to become lowly. And we must give way to all the pride and the arrogance that we might possess as a people. We must learn of him. He is the only one who is fit to teach us as a teacher. You know, in Matthew 11:25, Jesus spoke of two kinds of people in his praying. He spoke about the wise people and he spoke about the clever people. And the people that are childlike, who lack everything and realize their own emptiness, who came to him and humbled themselves before him, they inherited the kingdom of God. And you know, if you know any teacher, you know, some teachers are not humble. You know, and if you were in school or college or whatever, you will experience that some of these teachers are not humble. Some of these teachers are not compassionate. Some of them are not patient, which can be a discouragement to those who want to learn. But you see, Jesus knows. He is the master teacher. And Jesus knows how to bear with such people and open their understanding. You know, he was with the 12 disciples. Gosh, I'd say those guys nearly wrecked his head. You know, these 12 guys, he came in and he was mild and he was gentle with them. You know, at times they showed lack of care. They showed lack of attention. They even became forgetful at times. But he didn't choose disciples from the synagogues. And he didn't choose disciples from the schools. But he chose disciples from the seaside. And Isaiah talks and it says, when you ever feel separated from God, remember that God does not abandon you. You see, it's our sin that cuts us off from God. He talks about the wise and the prudent, the religious leaders who are arrogant and sinful. They were so arrogant and sinful in their own knowledge of the scriptures. They refused to accept the invitation of God. They refused to accept and to come into his resting place. What a proposition that was put to them from the master. And they refused it. And I'm sure when the invitation went out to the Pharisees, when Jesus said to them, come, I'm sure they looked at him and said, sure, you're only the carpenter's son. Why would we come? You're not God. And I'm sure the invitation must have been like drinking sour milk. But you see, Jesus was God. But they were so arrogant and so blindsided that they couldn't see. They couldn't see the woods for the trees. But Proverbs says, and this is the promise, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my voice and rejected the correction I offered. You see, Jesus spoke crystal clear that if anybody be prideful or self-centered, they are not in a fit condition to receive anything from God. But you see, Hebrews talks about the promises. Hebrews says about coming into the resting place that we would have a special day of rest. And maybe this morning you're going through stuff in this house. Maybe you're struggling with things. And maybe you're looking at your whole situation. And maybe you're looking at it with minor details. And maybe you're very close to your situation. And maybe you can't see the woods for the trees. But Jesus says, you've got to come. You've got to come like the little children came. You've got to come like the way little children came to him in the Bible. You know, your struggles today might feel as though your pain is never going to end. Don't let your heart turn away from God. You see, if you refuse to believe in him and persist in your unbelief, God will eventually leave you alone and he'll leave you in your sin. We've got to be wise as people. We've got to be wise that we don't fall under the curse of the enemy. We've got to be wise that we don't take his yoke upon us. Because when you partner with him and when you take his yoke, you're taking on the yoke that's going to destroy your life. See, God can give us a new heart. He can give us a new spirit. So prevent yourself from having an unbelieving heart here today. Stay in fellowship with other believers. Be aware of the deceitful sin it attracts, but also destroys. But encourage each other with love and concern. Take the yoke of Jesus today. Partner with him. Don't come under the bondage of the enemy. Because he will only come to kill, steal, and destroy. But God will come and give life. God will breathe life upon you, no matter what your struggles are here today. You know, the promises. I love reading about the promises of God in the Bible. Because they're a timeless truth. And you know, many of the characters in the Bible, they all witness God's hand upon their life. And if you look at some of the characters, like when King Saul was so overcome with jealousy of David, he tried to actually pin him up against the wall with a spear. But David escaped and he ran into the wilderness. And when you look at Daniel in the lion's den, when he was thrown in and the lions were ready to devour him, but God shut the mouths of the lion. And then when in Daniel 3, it talks about when Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when they were thrown into the blazing furnace, they were thrown in by King Nebuchadnezzar. And when the king looked in that furnace, he saw four men. He didn't see three. He saw four men. God was with them in the furnace. Our God is the God of the universe. Our God is the God that his truths, his promises are a timeless truth. You see, they all experienced deliverance. They entered a place of entering into God's rest. They ceased from their struggles because they came. They came into his presence and they let God touch the barren places in their life. And that's why we can be encouraged here in the house today. We can come to a God that can touch stuff that's deep within us that nobody else knows but God. But God can come and God can touch those areas in your life. The seventh day of rest is not closed off. The seventh day of rest is still open to the people of God. And you might be saying, how can I rest with my schedule? The kids, the husband that's an alcoholic, the son or daughter that's a drug addict, my parents who are elderly, you know, and that I need to care for. How can I rest? You know what? I'm fed up. I'm fed up with searching for God. I'm fed up with this Christian life. I'm fed up with trying to do good and to walk this walk. How can I come into a place of resting in God? You see, to understand rest is to know rest is not the absence of trials. It's not the absence of troubles, but resting in the midst of them. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus has a yoke for your neck here this morning, and he also has a crown also for your head. You see, the yoke of Jesus is sweet. The yoke of Jesus is pleasant. The yoke of Jesus is friendly. The yoke of Jesus is love. The yoke of Jesus is joy to its fullest. This is the yoke that you will partner with here today. A yoke that is lined with love, an abundance of love. A yoke that when you partner with him, he will make you like the oxen to still work even if you're in ministry. Have an epiphany moment here today. Have a moment where you say, okay, I surrender. I'm going to come and see what it's like to partner with God. You see, everything in your life, God is going to give you rest to your conscience, rest to your mind, rest to your heart, and rest to your apprehensions. And how God will do that is when you lose your life, when you just throw it over and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to partner with you. You see, the hostess is waiting. The hostess knows how many people's here. He knows how many people are going to RSVP to his invitation. He knows who is going to come and who is going to take of the fulfillments in his promised land. The hostess is waiting to see and to hear, will you respond here today? And I'm going to ask us all to stand. And just before the worship team come back, I'm just going to end on this story. And this is a story that I read about a woman. And it's about a woman whose marriage was threatened by her husband's addiction to pornography. And she wrote how she stood beside him for 5 pain-filled years. And she said, through the gift of the precious Lord Jesus, atonement, she received atonement, and she received how to forgive. And she received how to forgive her husband. And finally, she is free and her husband is free. And she said, as one who is needed, no cleansing from sin, but only saw a loved one's deliverance from captivity, she wrote this advice. Partner with the Lord. He is your best friend. He knows your pain because he has felt it for you already. He is ready to carry your burdens. Trust him enough to place it at his feet and allow him to carry you. Then you can have your anguish replaced with his peace in the very depths of your soul. And you know, this morning, I'm just going to open up the altar this morning. And if this word has spoken to you, don't look around at your neighbour. If God has spoken to you, I'm going to ask you to come and slip out of the aisles and come, because God is going to meet you here up the front. Don't wait for the worship team to get stringing the guitars. Come, no matter what is heavy laden on your heart this morning. God says, I will take it. I will take the burdens that seek to cause you to fall under the burden of an ox. You see, God says, come. And there's more to come. He says, come, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light. Partner with God. Partner with God here this morning. And there's people here that are suffering with many addictions. There's people in this house that are suffering with loneliness. There are people in this house that are suffering in their marriages. God knows. He knows that you are going to be here today. He knew that you were going to respond to his invitation. And there's more to come. And I'm not moving until people respond. This is not about me up here, guys. This is about God. I'm just the vessel here this morning. God says, come. Come and partake of me. Come and receive my yoke here this morning. Come and receive my yoke, because my yoke is light. And I will carry you. I will carry you through your afflictions. I will carry you through your burdens. That's what God Almighty says. So we're going to enter in and we're going to worship. And I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. And I'm going to ask yous that standing up here in the front row to call out to God. Call out the burdens that are troubling in your heart today. Call out the burdens and lay them down at his feet. Because he knows what they are before you even have to tell him. But you see, when you step out, God steps in. And this is what this is about. It's about an act of faith here today. That you step out and respond to the call of God. Let's worship. Thank you.